Good morning, everybody. You will be happy you came here early today because we have a pre-service concert with Henry Capono of C&K. He's going to be backed up by some of our singers and our dancers, so you're in for a treat. So would you welcome with a warm New Hope welcome Henry Capono as he comes on his Christmas season with New Hope.
Hello, everybody, and Merry Christmas. All right, I get it now. How's everybody doing this morning? Excuse me a little bit. All right. Thank you. I'd like to do a couple of Christmas tunes for you. I did a Christmas CD about 20 years ago. So I haven't done this song for about 20 years. I've just been doing it for the last couple of days, and we should have it by the end of the day. Now, it's been going really well, and I got some great singers with me. I was going to put out another Christmas album years ago. Everybody said, "Well, why don't you do another one?" I went, "Well, this one, I like this one so much that I didn't see any reason why I should do another one, but you never know."
And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. When I was a seeker, I sought both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and He showed me the way. He made me a watchman upon the city walls. And if I am a sinner, I am the least of all. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching over wandering flocks by night, behold, from out of heaven they shone the holy light. And lo, when they had seen it, they all bowed down and prayed, and they traveled on together to where the babe was laid. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy birth. Bethlehem's plain, God and King who crowned him again. Living forever, ceasing ever, over us all to reign.
Frankincense to offer, songs a deity now, prayer and praising, all men praising, worship him God most high.
Myrrh is mine, it's bitter perfume, sings hallelujah, hallelujah, the earth replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect life.
Thank you again to the Worldwide Sisters and Clint. Thank you so much, everybody, and thank you for having me here. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and the happiest of New Year's to you, your family, and all your friends, wherever they may be. God bless all of you. I'm thinking about my friends all around the world, wishing them all the best in the coming years. And thank you for the happy times that we spent. May our lives forever be forever stronger. And I'd like to say to you on this special day, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. And I can remember the things that we said, the things we did, the joy and laughter. And when I need something to hang on to, these memories of happiness keep shining through. And I'd like to say to you, this special day, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. We have families, and time has passed by. I can see the joy of Christmas in my children's eyes. And all the best to you and all the world. May our lives forever be forever stronger. And I'd like to say to you on this special day, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Again. And good morning, everybody. Let's stand together. Merry Christmas. Mele kaliki makameka hau oli makaiki ho. You gotta talk Hawaiian. You know, he's full Hawaiian. So it's, yeah, so I gotta talk Hawaiian to him. But it's a joyous season. You know, the Bible says it this way. Praise is becoming to the righteous. You know what that means? If your wife or someone is wearing something nice, you say, boy, that just looks becoming on you. What that means is when you wear that outfit, you look better than you really are. Well, the Bible says that praise is becoming to the righteous, which means when you praise God, you look better. How many of you believe your neighbor looks better when they praise God? All right. And I know many of you, and you need some help in that category. So whenever we worship God, I say, Elwin, you stand right here and worship. It's not working. But praise is becoming to the righteous. And so today, as we worship God, let's give Him all that we have. And it's almost like heaven says, what a beautiful group of people. So let's worship the King. He's here. Would you welcome Him this morning? Hallelujah.
For the praises of man, oh, I will never ever stand
sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only one.
At Christmas time, 2,000 years ago, where you revealed Jesus to a watching world through a humble servant named Mary. Lord, in the same way this year, would you reveal your Son afresh and again through your servants, us. Lord, I pray that somehow your love, wherein the scriptures remind us that you so loved the world that you gave, Lord, let it be again your love in us and through us, that the world will be able to see Christ. Lord, we don't want to be getting involved in religion where we have this religious superstition of blessing and then we kind of do our own thing and get you to be a good luck charm. Lord, we want to banish that kind of thinking. Instead, Lord, we want to have a genuine and authentic relationship with you in a way that affects everything we do, everything we say, and every day and how we live. So, Lord, I pray that you will ratchet us back to you. Bring us back to you. Lord, we thank you for the gift on either side of us, the one on our left and the one on our right. And if they're that important to you that you died for them, they get to be important enough to us that we love them the way you do. Thank you for this. May this Christmas be a special one for us all as we draw close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, would you say welcome to a couple of people? Say Merry Christmas. Give them a handshake and a hug. And say welcome to New Hope.
Christmas, everyone. Oh my God, smoking. This is a once a year thing. It's been in the plastic for the whole year. Next week it'll go back right into the plastic and in the very end of the closet. Yeah, but Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to New Hope. Can we say thank you to the worship team for a wonderful job? Wow. And also Henry Capono Kaaihui for that stellar performance. Yee-hee! Just to let you folks know, Henry will be outside. He's got some CDs and also a DVD of his live concert at the Hawaii Theater, and he'll be more than happy to autograph it for you. Now, do we have any first-timers here? Any first-timers? No? First-timer? Back there? I have a CD for you. Yeah, from Henry Capono. I could have signed him. I knew how to spell Henry. Yeah, but again, welcome, welcome. Hey, we're not just celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior. Pastor Elwin just celebrated his birthday this past Friday. I won't go ahead and tell you his age, but he reached the speed limit. Not between Makakilo and Kunia, but before that. Yeah, just a little before that. Yeah. But we want to wish Pastor Elwin a very happy birthday. There's a lot of good people in December. We got Arlene and Calvin, some of the staff here at the church. But welcome, welcome. Merry Christmas, everyone. And you know what? Pastor Wayne came out early and he said it in Hawaiian. Yeah. Mele kaliki maka a meka ho'oli makahiki ho. I was like, wow, that Hawaiian is awesome. How do Portuguese people say it? Eh, Merry Christmas. Bless me, Father, for I have seen. Just a few announcements, letting you folks know that this Wednesday and Thursday is our Christmas services. Wednesday is 6 and 8 o'clock, and then Thursday is 5 at 7. So, okay, don't forget now, Wednesday 6 and 8. Thursday is 5 and 7. And also the ministry center will be closed. They have half day on Christmas Eve. It'll be closed all the way to January 3rd, reopening on January 4th. So we want everybody to enjoy the Christmas season as we celebrate with our Lord and Savior. Also outside, and can we just say thank you to Farrington High School for providing a great facility for us. Right on. They have what they call their construction academy, and they're outside selling Korean cutting boards. I thought it was Korean cutting boards. And I was like, how would Korean cutting board look like? But it's Korean cutting boards right outside. Go out and celebrate, help support their, you know how a Hawaiian cutting board look like, yeah? Just use the counter. You come to my house, you can see all kinds of lines on my counter. But they have Korean cutting boards outside. They help support Farrington High School and their apprenticeship program. All right, we're going to ask the ushers to prepare for our tithes and offerings at this time as we prepare our hearts to give. Heavenly Father, we come together, gathered together as your children in the name of Jesus to give with a grateful heart filled with thanksgiving of our tithes and offerings. Lord, we ask that you bless it and multiply it in many ways so that we as a church can be that light of this world, Father, as we exit the doors to spread the gospel and the good news in a way that they will, you will be glorified and that people will see your love. So, Father, thank you for this year that we get to grow together as one big ohana. Father, I pray for those who still struggle with finances, relationships, and health. Father, that you be glorified and magnified. Consider it all joy that no matter what we go through, you are still glorified. So, Lord, as we prepare our hearts this season to celebrate the greatest birthdays of all time, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. You deserve the glory, Lord. We love you. We honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people say, amen. Go ahead, Ashish.
Thank you to the Envoys. What they sing about is so true, isn't it? When Jesus Christ is so much a part of you, how can you stop from singing? How can you stop from celebrating the season we call Christmas? But the funny thing is, we call it Christmas here, but the world calls it Happy Holidays. It's almost a disconnect, isn't there? But we know there's a reason why we sing. How can we stop from proclaiming that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? And we say Merry Christmas here, but when we get into the world, we hear Happy Holidays. How do you handle stuff like that? How do you handle it when someone says to you, Happy holidays. I want you to take a look at a video of how this one man handled it. Take a look at this.
Hi, I'm Stuart Shepherd. This is Stoplight. I love this time of year. When the nation's retailers fill my mailbox with catalogs wishing me a happy, non-specified holiday. Shutterfly tells me it's that time again, but never tells me exactly what time that might be. They even offer a card that just says, Happy Everything. I visit Old Navy online, but all I could find was the holiday collection. Wendy's gave my little boy a holiday gift kit with little bitty cards inside wishing people a happy holiday and season's greetings. It's funny because the side of the bag offers us $3 off a Charlie Brown Christmas. The nation's retailers might want to know that people all over America are now celebrating a little holiday that I invented. We call it Tossmas. Learning Resources sends me a catalog where holiday imaginations take shape. I'm imagining Merry Tossmas. My twin wants me to buy the Just Like Me doll to make her holiday wishes come true. I'm wishing her a Merry Tossmas. Eddie Bauer sends me their Holiday Preview Holiday 2008 catalog, Feliz Navitas.
La, 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 la.
And now, a special message for retailers.
Here, let me speak your language. When L.L. Bean offers to make my Christmas brighter, suddenly I find myself in the mood to buy some Thermalite ear warmers. When Lands End writes, from our family to yours, Merry Christmas, I suddenly find that No Iron Original Oxford mighty fetching. Look, we're obviously the kind of customers you're longing for, otherwise why would you be sending us all these catalogs? So if you're going to be making money off our holiday, we'd seriously love it if you just celebrate it with us. And if you can't do that, at least show a little respect. Call it what it is.
Christmas!
Otherwise, we'll keep celebrating Tossmas. Merry Christmas.
It's not happy holidays, is it? It's Merry Christmas. It's Merry Christmas. You know, I don't know what's so different about Christmas. I don't know why that when it comes to Christmas time that it's separated out from the rest of the world and we call it a holiday. February 14th, what do we say? Happy holiday? No, happy Valentine's Day. In November, when you have the nice roasted turkey on the table, what do we say? Happy holidays? No, we say happy Thanksgiving. But when it's someone's birthday, they don't give you a holiday gift, they give you a birthday, happy birthday gift. You know, why don't we call it what it is? It's Christmas. It's not happy holidays. By the way, how do you like my shirt? Nice Christmas shirt, huh? I mean, you see the Christmas on it? Let me turn around and see that. Yeah. Now if I flex, the lights blink. Hey, you want to see it? You want to see it blink? Nah, really. I bought this on the day after Christmas sale, of course, which meant I had to wait a whole year until I could wear it today. And so this is the day for my Christmas shirt. But you know, there's a disconnect between the world and us. And why is that so? What is the world afraid of? Why is there such a resistance to calling it what it is, to saying Merry Christmas rather than saying Happy Holidays? You know, I warned my wife Joy about this, and she went to this store anyway. And, you know, she came home with this package. And can you see this here? It says, A Million Reasons to Believe. Believe what? Believe, I mean, what? Where's the, what's the answer here? So I tried looking for the answer, turned it around, and it says the same thing. A Million Reasons to Believe. Believe what? Believe that you're going to be in debt after this Christmas season is over? Believe that you're going to buy gifts that someone may not even use and they'll re-gift it to someone else? Believe what? Shouldn't this say a million reasons to believe in the reason for the season? A million reasons to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the reason, is the risen Lord. Shouldn't we give reasons why we say believe? So what do we do with things like this? Merry Tossmas. Now, there's such a disconnect. And why is that so? Why is the world so uncomfortable? Why is there such an uneasiness about saying Christmas when it's Christmas time? Why do we say happy holidays? In fact, on your notes, you're going to see at the bottom there, on like a water print, it says happy holidays. Now, I didn't approve that design, by the way, have you know? What I want you to do is scratch through happy holidays and write Merry Christmas on your paper. Go ahead. That's your first point tonight. Write Merry Christmas on that. But you know, I was thinking about this. Why is the world so uneasy and uncomfortable about saying Merry Christmas? It's because of this. I think, and we know it here, that when you come face to face with Jesus Christ, something has to change. The world knows that. We know that. And so they try and take Christ out of Christmas. And that was Herod's dilemma. We've been talking about the Christmas story. Pastor Wayne covered the faith of Mary, and we talked about also the commitment of Joseph. Today we're going to talk about Herod's dilemma on how Herod missed the miracle because he tried to take Christ out of Christmas. Well, let's read about Herod. At the very top of your notes, let's read together what it says there in Matthew. Read it nice and loud with me. Ready? Go. In the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why was he troubled? Why was King Herod troubled? Well, we got to know something about Herod, first of all. He was the king of the Jews, but he wasn't a Jew. If you trace his lineage, he came from the lineage of Esau. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau was not the chosen one. Jacob became the beginning of the descendants of Israel, became established as a nation of Israel, the chosen race of God. Well, here you have Herod, who is not a Jew. He's an Edomite, who's related to Esau, sitting as a king of the Jews. Now, how did that happen? Herod's life, historians record this. His family was so intertwined with the Roman government. They were politically connected somehow. They're involved in so many political shenanigans that finally it caught up to Herod's dad, and he was accused of plotting against Caesar, the emperor, and he was actually executed right before Herod's eyes as a boy. Can you imagine how that must have messed up his mind? He got more involved, however, with the political system, pulled some political strings, got appointed here, then removed from office, got appointed there, removed from office. He was so insecure and dysfunctional on the inside that he strived for power and control. And somehow he got someone in the Roman government to appoint him now to be king of the Jews, although he wasn't a Jew. Now the Magi come, and they say, "Show us where this king of the Jews has been born." What do you think it did to Herod on the inside? He's so insecure. He will go to great lengths to protect his power and his ability to control. He had such a need to control things that whenever someone or something threatened him, he'd do whatever it took to remove that from the scenery, even to the point of killing his own mom, killing his own brother-in-law, his son-in-laws, his nephews, his own family members. When they threatened him, he got rid of them. That's who this Herod was. And so when the Magi says, "Show us this king of the Jews, where was he born?" I can imagine something just welling up inside of him thinking, "Not again. I got to protect my power and my need to control." And so what he tried to do was then remove Christ from Christmas. And I thought, how interesting, huh? Maybe that's what's happening in the world today. Maybe the world understands that when you come face to face with Christ, something has to change. And so we try and remove Christ. We try to remove Christians, the whole opportunity for the Lord to be glorified in government and in schools. We remove that from it. We create a separation of church and state because those in authority know that if Christ is entered and placed in the government, in the schools, something has to change, and they don't want to change. We don't like change. That's why in businesses, rather than conducting business according to strict Christian principles, we say, no, we got to separate that out. So we use business strategies, and we remove Christ from the businesses. Why? Because we know that if businesses come face to face with Christ, something's got to change. There's going to be stricter accountability, more ethics, more morals involved in business, and we don't like that. in our families. If Christ was to enter our families, our relationships, our finances, something's got to change. And we have a very difficult time with change. You see, folks, if we don't change, if we resist change, if we push away from change, we may miss the very miracle that God may have wrapped for us this Christmas to unfold. Herod had a problem. He had a problem with control. He didn't want things to change. But there's some great lessons that we can learn in this Christmas season. Some lessons that's going to help us to discover what that miracle is, to unwrap it, to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And what is that? I'm going to share with you three today. Number one, would you write this in? When you come face to face with Christ, when Christ shows up in your life, there can only be one King. When you come face to face with Christ, someone has to give. Something's got to give. See, when you think about Herod and his life, he really wasn't the king of his life. Think about it. You know who was king over Herod? Begins with the letter C. That word is control. The need to be in control. That dictated everything that Herod did. It determined his decisions. It caused him to make even very poor decisions. It was a need to be satisfied with the immediacy. He had such a desire for the immediacy or gratification. So I define control as this. Control is a desire for the immediate versus trusting in something in the future, trusting for some reward that you should wait for. That's why people who are controlling, you ever heard that before? Hey, you're so controlling. They want things done now. They want things done my way. I come home from work sometimes and Joy is making dinner and I walk into the kitchen and you know how I love to cook and I'll say, well, maybe you should add this or maybe you should try this. And she'll turn to me and say, well, you're so controlling. Here, you do it yourself then. You know, people who are controlling want things done now their way to satisfy their desire. Those who are more trusting, however, they can relinquish that control and wait for what the reward may be in the end. There was a research project done on to determine how much can we withstand the immediacy. Are we instant gratification fanatics, or can we wait for the reward? Can we trust in the reward? So these psychologists brought in some kids, young kids, and the test was, we're going to present you with a single marshmallow. We're going to leave the room, and when we come back, if you haven't eaten that marshmallow, we'll give you one more. Now the kids had to be very strong on this, but they wanted to see how kids would react to that. I got a little video of they captured how these kids reacted, and I want you to see if you can identify with some of these kids. Take a look at this video.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. Okay?
Okay. So I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you to give me another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
That's so cute. Now, how would you have fared with that marshmallow in front of you? The researchers continued to study these kids as they got older and found that the ones who could resist, who would give up the control and just wait for the reward, they did so much better in life further on. In fact, those who ate it regardless of the instructions and just went ahead and dove in for the immediate gratification, on test scores, they scored like 200 points below everyone else. See, there's something about waiting for that reward. There's something about releasing and relinquishing control and wait for that reward that God may have for us in the end. You know, when I look at that, I think that's just like us in sin. Isn't that true? I mean, sin can be like that marshmallow. Whether it be anger or unforgiveness or immoralities or adultery or porn or things that happen in our lives where it's there and we think, should I touch it? Should I smell it? How close do I get? Can I, that little girl, can I just eat the outside so they won't even recognize what it is? You know, or do I just wait and just let it go and release control and give that up? And wait for the reward in the end. And when I get the reward, then I can, now I can celebrate. You know, how are we like that? You know, when I look at Herod's life, his need to be in control, to have things done now, to not release that control, but to always be in possession of it, I think about us. And I think sometimes there might be a little bit of Herod in every single one of us, isn't there? We can't release that control. Folks, you know, if control is your king, you lose. You will miss the miracles. You will miss the rewards that God may have for you. It's so important to catch that because sometimes, so many times when we come face to face with Christ, nothing happens in our lives and we continue to be king. We continue to rule over our future or try to be in control of what's happening around us. When that happens to us, we lose. Read with me what Philippians 2 says. Ready? Go. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
You know, we read this scripture sometimes and we understand what it means, but when we live our lives, sometimes we think, well, God highly exalted, not him, God highly exalted me above everyone else, above people in my family, people in my workplace. And so at my command, every knee should bow. At my demand, you should do this now. And we get so caught up in the need to be in control. And maybe this Christmas season, we got to yield that up to God, whatever you're holding on to. Whatever you think you need to control, whether it's unforgiveness against someone else, where you hold that against them, maybe this Christmas we got to give that up. And only the Lord can be king in your life. And let him be the one. Let him be the one that you relinquish everything to. Otherwise, we lose. Colossians 3 says this, says, since then you have been raised up with Christ, set your minds on things above. Not on earthly things, not on the immediacy of things around you. Think about what's going to happen above in the eternal rewards that we're going to receive. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, in other words, when Christ shows up, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, or something's got to change. When you come face to face with Christ and Christ shows up in your life, something's got to change. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. What is it about your earthly nature, the things that you are just holding on to, that you got to say, Lord, would you be king over that? Let me give you control over that. What do you need to relinquish to him this Christmas? See, when you begin to relinquish things to him, when you become face to face, when you come face to face with him, number two, would you write this in there? Then pursue him yourself. Make it a point that you pursue him yourself. From Herod's perspective, he was not interested in meeting Christ face to face. He wasn't. Read together with me what it says there, Matthew 2. Ready? Go. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Then Herod secretly called the Magi, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him. Now, was Herod really interested in finding Jesus? I don't really think so. Because if Herod was trying to be protective of his throne, and Jesus was going to be this major threat to his life, wouldn't you think he would send someone other than Magi? Who were the Magi? We're really not sure in what their relationship was with Herod. But if there's really a threat to you or to your life, just like America, when 9/11 happened, we thought that Saddam Hussein and Iraq and all that was a threat to us. So who did we send over to Iraq? The scribes and Pharisees? The scribes and high priests? Who did we send over to Iraq? We sent over our soldiers. We sent over our army. What's going on in Afghanistan right now? Osama bin Laden still seems to be a threat to America. So who do we have over there? We have our armies over there. What did Herod do? When he found out that this Jesus was born, possibly a threat to him, he pulls together his scribes, not his soldiers. And then he sends the Magi. He says, yeah, go and find them. And if you can find them, let me know, because I'll come and kill them anyway. But if you don't find him, no big deal. I didn't waste my time going out there to find him. You know, he never really wanted to find Jesus, I believe. Now contrast that. Contrast that with the shepherds and the Magi. In Luke 2, we have a recording of what happened to the shepherds who were in the field. The angel came with a message of glory that says, a baby is born, he will be Christ the King. You can find him in this manger. Luke 2 says the shepherds got up and immediately went. They left their flocks in the field and went and found where Mary and the baby lied. And when they came upon this scene, they went away then praising and glorifying God because of what they had seen and what they had heard. They went away praising and glorifying God. In other words, something happened to them when they came face to face with Jesus Christ. I always wondered to myself, what did they see? What did they hear? For them to remove themselves from that scene, walking away saying, man, glory to God. Glory to God. Can you imagine? See, sometimes we read the Bible and it doesn't give justice to what really happened there. And in my mind, I see them walking away saying, man, glory be to God. You should have seen what I seen. Well, what did you see? Well, you should have seen the angels were there. There was a bright light and an aura was around the baby and this Mary. And it was such a wonderful sight. You should have been there to see that. Man, I wish I was there. I wish I was there. The Magi. We don't know who they were. Bible says they're from the east. Some say they were of Jewish descent, part of the dispersion that happened in the exile. They were in Babylon. We don't really know who they were. We sing about we three kings. We don't even know if there were three of them, whether they were kings or wise men. We know that they studied the stars. They studied the heavens. And they saw something unusual happen. We know that they were pretty loaded, man. They had gold and they had some very expensive frankincense and myrrh. Now, what happened to the Magi when they left Herod and went to look for the baby Jesus? When they found Jesus, the Bible says they bowed down and they worshiped him. In other words, it didn't matter what position they held in this world. Doesn't matter how much money they had. Doesn't matter what they had as a prestige or position or power. They stripped all that off and they bowed down to worship who? A big king on a throne? A little baby. Something happened there. That when they came face to face with the baby Jesus, something changed. What did they see? What did they hear? You know, I mean, it changed them so much so that see, we don't know who they were and where they came from. But I know this, they weren't Chinese. I know that for sure. Because it said they brought their gold and they gave their gold. Now, they didn't just give like a token gift and kept the rest. They gave everything they had to this big king. No, to this little baby wrapped in a manger. Something happened there, folks. What did they see? What did they hear that changed their life completely? So much so, the Bible says they left a different way than when they came. How many of us, when we come to church, we leave the same that when we came in? How many of us go through the same problems week after week? We don't change. They saw something that changed their lives radically. It turned their lives around and they were different. Because they met Jesus face to face. Now, which causes me to question. What would have happened if Herod went and pursued Christ himself? What would have happened to Herod if he came face to face with Jesus? Now, we know the history of Herod. We know who he was like, his dysfunction, etc., etc. But I have seen men with a tattered and stained past, who have been hardened by the world, where their hearts have broken when they came face to face with Christ. We had Warden Thomas here last week. Some of you may have been in the service where he talked about Saguaro Prison because of what our prison ministry is doing in there, that the incident rates have dropped over 60% in prison, where hardened men are changing. Their lives are being turned around. We get letters from inmates from all over the United States, prisons that are sending us letters, wardens that are sending us letters on how it's not a good thing to show tears or to cry in prison. It's a sign of weakness. But whenever they see DVDs of our services, grown men, hardened criminals, are weeping physically, literally in prison, not caring what's going to happen to them. Why? Because they've come face to face with Jesus Christ. What would have happened if Herod saw Jesus face to face? See, when you pursue Jesus yourself, something will change. Something has to change. And I want to encourage you this Christmas, find a way of pursuing him yourself. Don't rely upon the lights that we have here. Don't rely upon the music and the songs and the sketches. They're all good. It's great to come together on the weekend, and let me encourage you to continue to do so. The Bible says don't forsake assembling yourselves together. There's synergy that happens in here. There's momentum that you gain for your life when you go out there. But eventually, you're going to have to pursue Jesus yourself in addition to what you see here on the weekends. It's when you pursue him on your own that you develop that relationship with him that's going to carry you through any kind of trouble, any kind of circumstances that life may throw at you. You know, we've been raising our son now for the last 3.5 years. He's 7 years old. We adopted him from China when he was 3.5. And, you know, he comes with his little set of energy and his bundle of disobedience and just praying to God that somehow God changes him. And we thought we'd get him into the devotions. So we got the little children's journal, had him journaling. And every morning, Joy or myself would sit with him, go over the scripture, ask him what does it mean, and write an application and a prayer. Very simple. And he's been doing that. And every day he would write, help me to be obedient, help me to be good. But somehow it's not working. He's still disobedient and rascal. You know, in school, because he's a very people guy and he likes looking around and stuff and getting involved in other people's business, Whenever he doesn't listen and whenever he doesn't do his work on time, he gets an X. If he does things well, he gets a stamp, a happy face stamp. Well, we said to him, well, something's got to stop, Jared. We got to apply some consequences to your actions. So if you come home with an X, no TV, all right? No TV, no electronic games, no video, no computer. You read a book. You just do your studies. So that's been going on for a while, and he's been doing a little bit better, still getting X's. And Joy says to me, you know, that's because he never listens. You know, whenever I try to tell him to do something, he never listens. And I'd say to her, it's because you're too soft, honey. You got to be harder on him. And so one day she went to the Christmas brunch that New Hope had, which meant I had Jared for the whole day by myself. Took him to the baseball game. He played. Potluck was going on. And I said to him, Jared, let's get going. We've got to meet Mom at home. They're playing tackle football on the side. He said, one more play, Dad. I said, all right, one more play. So I watched him, waited, and looked at my time. I said, Jared, we got to go. He looked at me, totally disregarded me, and started tackling his friends again. So I let it go a little bit. I said, Jared, let's go. Come on. Looked at me again, started tackling his friends. So it's not like anyone was holding him down. He's purposely just doing his own thing. I said, Jared, pick up your bags. Let's go. Now, by now, the parents all looking at me. The pastor parent with the disobedient son. So I walked over to his bag. I picked up his bag. I said, let's go. We're going to go. I started walking. Ran up and caught up with me. I looked at him and I said, 5 days, no TV. He said, what? I said, Jared, I counted. Every time I called you and you didn't listen, that's 1 day, no TV. 5 days, no TV. Get in the car. So we got in the car. Made sure all the windows were up. Started driving away, and I just lost it. Now here's the clean version of it. I said, I'm tired of this. I am sick and tired of you not listening. You don't listen to your teachers in school. You don't listen to Mom. I am done with this. You got it, Jared? I'm done with this. And we're driving away. It's totally quiet in the car. We get home, and I had some homework to do, so I got on my computer. And he went and got his glove and a little ball. And he throws his ball against the wall. He tossed it, disappeared. He was quiet for a little bit. Came back, tossed the ball again, disappeared. He's real quiet. Now I'm getting a little soft on the inside. I'm thinking, well, maybe I was too hard on him. I walk into the bedroom. He was in our bedroom. And guess what he was doing? Watching TV. He's sitting on the floor with the video remote in his hand, watching television, and the sound is down to like 2. And he's trying to pay so close attention to the TV, he didn't know I was standing in the room. So I looked at, and this is like not even 1 week after, it's like not even 1 hour after this whole incident. He's watching TV. So I stand over him and I go, what are you doing? He looks up at me and I said, turn that off. I'm like, come here. I'm sitting on the bed. I said, come here. So he walks over to me. Now again, the clean version of this. I said, what do I need to do to you to make you listen? What do you need to have happen, Jared? Go get the stick. Now, it's funny how when you hear those words, go get the stick, that a certain part of your anatomy start to tighten up. Start walking away like this. And he came back to me with the stick. He knows exactly which stick we use. It's a little wooden spoon we use to cook. He gave it to me. And I said, now, should I spank you or not? And he went, no. I said, you need to learn consequences. Turned him around, wrote 3 quick ones. He stood there and he refused to cry, which made me even more mad. I said, go to your room. Went to his room, cried himself to sleep. Later on, he got up, came over to me. You know, I told Joy the whole story when she got home. She said, good, I'm glad you went through what I got to go through every day. I said, Jared, you know why Dad gave you a spanking? He goes, yeah. I said, are we done with this now? Are we through? He goes, yeah. I said, you know, you've been doing your devotions. How come you're not changing? So he pulled out his Bible, sat down and tried to do his devotions. And it's funny, you know, how when you go through something in life, God's word for you is exactly what you need to hear. The reading for that day was Titus. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. they should be obedient. So he chose that scripture to write in. His observation, God wants me to be obedient. His application, I need to be obedient to God by not getting any more X's. Prayer, dear God, help me to be obedient and help me not to get any more X's. Amen. And I said, Jared, okay, you're writing those things. How come you're not changing? And it's almost like the Lord said to me, that's because you're telling him to do it. You need to help him to develop a relationship with me, the Lord is saying, on his own. Now, do I stop encouraging him? Do I stop sitting with him? No, I'll continue to encourage him. But yesterday, he started doing things on his own. He took out the Bible himself, took out the journal himself, and he wrote this, John 5. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, so does the Son also. Observation, God wants me to copy good things. Application, I need to copy good things. I need to listen to God by trying my best. Prayer, dear God, help me to copy good things and help me to try my best. Amen. He did this one on his own. What's happening with him? He's pursuing God himself. By pursuing God himself, Lord help me, that he will begin to change over time. You see, folks, you can come into a relationship with Christ, but nothing will change in your life unless and until you pursue the Lord yourself. All the lights here won't do it for you. As much as you may enjoy the preaching and the teaching and having a pastor who is good looking and handsome and even a Portuguese one on the side, you know, all those good things here won't necessarily help you to grow and mature. You have to take one more step, and that's to pursue God yourself. If Herod had met Christ face to face, what would have happened to him? When you meet Christ face to face, I know there's going to be a change in you. One of the best things you can do this Christmas, one of the best gifts, either to yourself or to someone else, is to pick up a Bible and a journal and start developing that personal relationship with him. One of the best resolutions you can make is maybe join up with a small group or an accountability group that helps you to pursue him face to face. Because when you start doing that, number three, would you write this in? When you meet up with Christ face to face, allow him to grow up in your life. Herod did not want Jesus to grow. Now, when you figure, you think about it. This was a baby. He was just born. Why would Herod want to kill this baby? The baby wasn't a threat to him. You know who was a threat to Herod? Jesus when he got older, when he grew up. That's why he called the soldiers together. Let's read together Matthew 2. Ready? Go. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. He didn't want Jesus to grow up. He was afraid of the change that would have to take place in his life. And I think sometimes we have the same tendency, don't we? There's a little bit of Herod in every single one of us. We don't want Jesus to grow up in our lives. We love him as a little baby. Oh, it's cute to come and worship and be in a place where Jesus can remain very small. And we don't want him to grow up because of the changes we're going to have to make. And so when Christmas is done and it's over, we put him away. Joy was telling me, you know, I'm going to set up all this nativity scene, but isn't it funny that when I put it away and take it out next year, Jesus is still a baby in the manger? And that's what we do with our lives, don't we? See, we don't allow Jesus to grow in our lives. And so we stay with and we cling on to what the Bible calls the elementary things of God. And we refuse to allow Jesus to grow up. See, when you come face to face with Christ and you allow him to grow up in your life, things begin to change. See, if we don't let him grow, we're going to meet up with the same problems again and again this time next year. The same struggles with our family, the same issues with finances, The same issue with forgiveness of this person that we just can't stand because Jesus never grows. And the Lord is saying, move on to maturity now. Hebrews 6, read that with me. Ready? Go. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. See, he wants us to move on to maturity. How does that happen? Very simply here. Know what he's saying and do it. James says it this way. Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. If there's someone that you need to forgive, forgive them. Love the unlovable. When someone asks you for something, go the extra mile, the Bible says. Whatever he's asking of you, know what he's saying, do it. Come to serve and not be served. Jesus said, I came to serve and not be served, and I give my life as a ransom for many. Don't just come to New Hope on the weekends to be served. We've got so many servants. Would you say thank you to our servants every year, every week? But don't just come to be served, serve. That's why we have our DCAT conference. That's why we have so many entry points here. But find some place where you can know what the Lord is saying. Now do it. Then you begin to grow into maturity. And when you begin to grow into maturity, I tell you folks, the toughest problems may happen to you, but you can handle it. Let me close with a story that I've read before, but I love just the meaning of it. It just reminds me what's most important in life. It's about a little boy who's facing heart surgery, and the surgeon is in his room explaining what's going to be happening. Tomorrow morning, the surgeon began, I'll open up your heart. And the boy interrupted, and you'll find Jesus in there. The surgeon looked up and a little bit annoyed and uncomfortable. I'll cut open your heart, he continued, to see how much damage has been done. But before he could finish, the boy once again smiled and he said, but when you open up my heart, you'll find Jesus there. The surgeon looked at the parents who sat very quietly and he continued, when I see how much damage has been done, I'll sew your heart and your chest back up and I'll plan what to do next. But you'll find Jesus in my heart, the boy repeated with a smile that beamed like a sunshine. The Bible says he lives there and the hymns all say that he lives there. And I'm sure you're going to find him in my heart. Well, the surgeon had had enough. I tell you what I'll find in your heart, he said very firmly to this young man. He said, I'll find damaged muscles. I'll find low blood supply and weakened vessels. But the little boy was unrelenting. And he said, and you'll find Jesus there too. He lives there. And the surgeon left the room. The next day after the surgery was over, the doctor sat in his office and tried to record the notes of the operation. Damaged aorta, damaged pulmonary vein, widespread muscle degeneration. No hopes for a transplant. No hope for cure. Prognosis. And here he paused. Death within 1 year. Stopped his recorder, although there was so much more he wanted to say. And it's as if he came face to face with God for the very first time. Why? He asked out loud. Why did you do this? Why did you put him in this condition? Why did you put him in this pain? Why have you cursed him to an early death? Why? The surgeon's tears were hot, but his anger was even hotter. You created that boy. You created that heart. And now he'll be dead in months. Why? And in the midst of his anger and his tears, it's almost as if the great counselor, the Holy Spirit, came down, the one who cares for the brokenhearted. He came and touched on that surgeon, and the surgeon wept. The surgeon sat beside the boy's bed as his mom's parents sat across from him. And as that little boy awoke, he whispered, did you cut open my heart?
Yes, said the surgeon. And what did you find? Asked the little boy. I found Jesus, said the surgeon. I found Jesus. That little boy knew what it meant to have Jesus Christ mature and grow in him, didn't he? He knew that when Jesus Christ was allowed to grow in his heart, that no matter what adversity he had to face, that Jesus still would be in there. That Jesus would never allow him to be forsaken. And with that in his heart, he could face any adversity that life may have thrown at him. You know, this Christmas, can I encourage you to allow the Lord to be the King in your life? Whatever you're holding on to, release that to Him. Let Him take it. You don't have to control it anymore. Give it up to Him. And pursue Him with all your heart. Not based on the faith of your mom or your dad or your friends. Pursue Him yourself with everything you have. And as He begins to grow in you, man, I tell you, it doesn't matter what happens in the world. When He begins to grow in you, you can face anything that life may have. And you can celebrate the season. This Christmas, can we be a church that celebrates the risen Lord? That we can celebrate Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. We'll put that on the side. That whoever we meet, we say Merry Christmas. Amen? Amen. 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 That's awesome. Do you pray with me as we conclude? Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord God, for the season that we're in. And may it never just be a week or a day, Father. May it be a lifestyle for us, that Christmas is the reason why we exist. You gave us the most precious gift of all in Your Son, Lord. And as we come face to face with Him, Father, may we indeed change from the insides out. May we become all that You've created us to be. Help us, Lord, to celebrate this year. Help us to celebrate this season we call Christmas in our life. May it be a gift that we give to one another. That the most greatest miracle of all, Father, may be found within us. Thank You, Lord, for who You are and why we celebrate this season. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you, some of you may be here and saying, you know, I've heard the Christmas story and I've heard about Jesus and Mary, but now I understand why I need to have Him in my heart. That maybe I've been holding on to things too long, maybe even control over my own future, and I've struggled with that. But I know that Jesus Christ can help me. I don't know everything there is to know about Him, but I want to begin the process of getting to know Him more and more and allow Him to be my best friend. If that's you this morning and no one's looking around, would you raise a hand right now and you're saying, that's me and I want Jesus in my heart. Yeah, right here in the front. Good. Bless you, brother, on the side. Good. Right here in the middle. Right in the front here. Good. Bless you. The side here. Let the Lord see your heart this morning. Yeah. Right here. Good, brother. Yeah. Anyone in the back? Yeah. Special time for you right there, brother. God sees your heart. Yeah, in the back there too. Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of great hearts going up there for the Lord. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I've been walking with the Lord, but I've been holding on to things. Lord, would You be my King in this next year? Let me move aside, and Lord, You take over my life. Help me to really pursue You and understand You more. And Lord, I'm going to give You permission this year to grow in me. Help me to become more mature as a Christian. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? Yeah. A lot of us going through that. Good. Yeah. Put your hands down. If you just said yes to Jesus for the first time, we have a yes packet for you. It's completely free. As you exit the auditorium, you're going to see ushers holding it up outside. Go up to them and tell them of the decision you just made, and we want to celebrate this day with you. Before we leave, can we say this prayer together? I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank You that You came and died for my sins. I want to live for You. I want to celebrate this season with You as my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Allow me to be all that You've made me to be. and now I say this, so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for being the reason for why we live. We celebrate this season with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Would you welcome these who said yes?
Someone as you go.